Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
By the way, in case you needed a reminder. Of course, it's Chiefs and Raiders this weekend, and it is also time to talk to a former Chiefs linebacker, our guy Joe Mays. And Joe's appearances are brought to you by the Alea Center, located at 601 Walnut Street in downtown Kansas City. I go there for cryo all the time. My wife's in there once a week. They do amazing things down at the Alea Center. And if you're feeling like you need your body reset, my man Joe Mays is going to help you out, get that cryo done. It's 3.5 minutes of an experience like you've never had before. And if you're working out, it's unbelievable, Ryan. I'm not kidding you. It is an unbelievable experience. I love it. And my wife, training for a marathon, is down there once a week getting her cryo on to make sure that everything is rocking and rolling and ready to go. Joe, how you doing, my man? You good?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing outstanding. And I heard you and Danon last night talking on the Players Only show that you guys do every Thursday here on 610 Sports Radio. And I want to know from your standpoint, a guy who played in this league on a few different teams, are rivalries for players still a thing in the National Football League like they are for the fans?
Yes, it is, especially when you're dealing with two organizations like the Chiefs and the Raiders. I mean, they've been rivals for how many years now?
Yeah,
it's
60.
Been a long time. And, you know, and of course, you know, the Raiders, nobody really likes them. So it's one of those games where, you know, it's real hate. Of course, it's not off the field, but on the field, it's real hate. So guys are definitely trying to play as hard as they can because they know the Raiders are going to bring it. So, and plus they have that, you know, just the history about them, you know, that win, baby win, and, you know, being one of the fastest teams and being one of the most physical teams and the toughest teams in the league, you want to make sure you're playing up to that.
Who cultivates some of that? Is it the other players in the locker room? Is it the coaches? Because I can only assume if you're, you know, a rookie on a team and you come in, like, you don't have any real hatred for the Raiders if you're a Chiefs rookie this year. Who's the one that's kind of pushing you towards that? Is it the other players or the coaches?
I think it's the coaches, man. Like I said last night, the Raiders, they bring out the worst in everybody. I mean, you know, you can have a coach that doesn't necessarily yell or doesn't necessarily curse, but through a Raider week, you might hear quite a few curse words, and you might hear them yell just about every time they talk. So I think, you know, when you're playing against them guys, you know, the coaches, it brings the worst out of them, but it brings the worst out of everybody, like I said.
Why is that, Joe? Why does everybody across the National Football League look at that team and have the worst brought out in them?
You know what? I'm not even sure, man. I think it's just, you know, the Raiders being the Raiders. I mean, you know, they've had this mystique, you know, ever since they've been in the NFL and, you know, having Al Davis as the owner and, you know, having all these different type of players that, you know, supposed to be great players and done great things for the organization, and then having that fan base where they really hate everybody. I mean, it's really one of the most loyal fan bases from a sports standpoint. But, you know, when you're traveling into Oakland, you know for sure that you're going to come across the nastiest fans in the NFL. So I think all of that just plays into it. You know, you got the players, you got the coaches, you got the fans. That's super nasty. So, you know, everybody knows what they're getting into when they're playing the Raiders.
Talking to Joe Mays, former Chiefs linebacker. His appearances are brought to you by the Alea Center, located at 601 Walnut Street in downtown Kansas City. And I'm not making any judgments until October, my man, but from a guy who played in this league and on defense, what do you think, what you saw out of the defense in the first week?
I mean, it was the first game. You know, these guys are starting to get back into, you know, playing against other teams and, you know, being able to tackle and all of those type of things. So, you know, all across the league, there was a lot of missed tackles. There was a lot of guys that was kind of out of place. So, you know, that first game is kind of hard to measure because you know that they're only going to play better. And of course, you know, with us being fans of the Chiefs, we want them to play better, and we're looking forward to them playing better. So I think I have an optimistic way of thinking. And you know what? I just think that this team is going to make it all the way to the Super Bowl and definitely win it.
And Joe, I mean, Bob's given them about a 4-week window to kind of see this thing kind of gel and come together. I think some of the fans are probably going to want to see it a little bit quicker. But as a player, I mean, you're getting used to a new scheme. You're getting used to a new coach. You're getting used to some new players around you, gaining some trust with that. How long do you think we as fans should give it to kind of see that come together and kind of gel?
I mean, it's going to take at least a couple of games, you know, just to you know, get these guys playing full speed and tackling and doing all these different types of things. So, and plus they have to get in game shape. I mean, even though they've been through training camp, it's nothing like playing in the actual game. And I'm pretty sure you can ask any of those guys, you know, how they felt after the game. They was tired. You know, they felt like their win wasn't there. They felt like they didn't have the endurance that they needed in order to play a full game. So it normally takes, you know, at least 2 or 3 games before they have, you know, their legs under them and, you know, they're ready to go out there and play 65, 70 plays a game.
Talking with former linebacker Joe Mays here on 610 Sports Radio. And, you know, let's look at it from the other side now. Tyreek Hill's not playing this week. If you're on the Raiders defense, what's the first initial thoughts you have about the Chiefs offense with Tyreek Hill not playing this week?
We got to get to Mahomes. I think, you know, with that guy having the ball in his hands, you know, 60, 70 times a game, he's definitely a dangerous player. He is the best quarterback in the NFL right now. So, you know, I think the best thing that they could do is possibly get to him because they know at any given moment, you know, he can light them up. I mean, you know, they have the receivers that's fast. Sammy Watkins, he is super fast, and he had a hell of a game last week. And then they have weapons all over the place, man. I mean, I'm looking forward to LeSean McCoy really, you know, doing some damage, you know, once he started, you know, really getting himself dived into the offense. So, I think the most important thing for the Raiders is definitely going to be stopping Mahomes.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and I wanted to ask you about getting to not just a quarterback, but getting to Patrick Mahomes, especially with a bum ankle. Does that stuff get talked about all week in meetings and in the locker room, that, hey, this guy's ankle's hurt, and go after the ankle?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you got to use a little bit of strategy when you're playing against your opponents. I mean, you know, if you see a weakness, you definitely attack it. And with Mahomes, you know, having that ankle injury, you better believe that, you know, the Raiders, they're going to try to get it any way they can, you know, whether they're not going to necessarily dive right at his feet. But, you know, in the pile, they might, you know, twist or turn the ankle, because those type of things, it happens. And it's a lot of things that, you know, the fans doesn't necessarily see. And it's a lot of things that you don't get a chance to catch on TV. So, yeah, I mean, it's always those type of little dirty games that's played within the game. And, you know, you want to do whatever you can to get a leg up.
Yeah, and you know, I've been trying to tell these guys, like, all week, like, there's stuff that's going to go on down there, guys. Like, they are going to try to go after Patrick Mahomes. And then Odell Beckham Jr. comes out this week and says there are guys with the Browns that told him that Greg Williams said go out and injure Odell in the preseason to try to take him out of the game. I mean, is Greg Williams the only guy that does that in the NFL, or is that on the regular in the NFL where coordinators are like, go out there and hurt this guy?
I mean, back in the day, it was different. You know what I mean? Like around the time when I first got into the NFL, those were conversations that was had in the locker room. But nowadays, I don't really think that's how it goes. I mean, you know, when it comes to Greg Williams, I don't know him personally, and I don't know him professionally either. But, I mean, he already have that name, you know, the name of a D coordinator that, you know, plays dirty, so to say, or have guys go out there to try to injure other guys. So it's easy to go out there and throw dirt on his name. You know, he's already out there, you know, looking at being looked at as a cheater or a guy that wants to injure other players. So I don't believe in all of that. You know, I think that with the times have definitely changed, and he had to pay a big price for what he's done in the past. I highly doubt that he's going to try to come back into the NFL and do the same thing.
So what do you think happens this week out in Oakland, my man?
Oh, we win. We win, but it's going to be a much closer game than people think, just because the Raiders, they always play the Chiefs, you know, real tough. They try to play them as close as they can, and it's just one of them games. It's a rivalry game. You know, you expect the best from both teams, and you better believe the Chiefs are expecting the best from the Raiders.
No doubt about it. Joe, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Hey, appreciate y'all having me on. Hey, appreciate you talking about the Leia Center too, man.
Hey, besides the cryo, man, tell everybody else what they can do down there.
Yeah, man, besides the cryo, man, we are a spa. We do spa amenities. We do massages. We do facials, body wraps, body waxing. We just got a hyperbaric chamber, so that's been something that our clients have been loving lately. We have a ton in store. So it's too much to talk about right now because I can easily keep these guys on and we can flow through the break. So just go ahead, come on down to 601 Walnut Street. We're right in the River Market area. Come check us out.
Yeah, it's an amazing place, and like I said, I speak from firsthand experience, and my wife speaks from firsthand experience going down there. We do the cryo down there a lot. They've got yoga on Friday nights where you go down and have some margaritas and cocktails and do some yoga as well.
I'm in on half of that.
Yeah, the cocktails or the yoga.
I'm in on the margaritas and the cocktails. Yeah, I'll sit there and watch the yoga.
So you get that going on Friday night. Joe, we'll talk to you again next week, my man.
Yes, sir. Next week. Appreciate you having me on.
You got it. Joe Mays, former Chiefs linebacker here on 610 Sports Radio. All his appearances are brought to you by the Leia Center, located at 601 Walnut Street, downtown Kansas City, just by the River Market. And if you've never had your entire body frozen for 3.5 minutes, you need to do it. I'm telling you, it is a game changer, my friend. And you even get a shot of charcoal water when you're done, so you can get that crossed off your millennial to-do list.
That sounds delicious.
As well. Coming up, we're going to risk it for the brisket, and it's the moment that everybody in Kansas City has been waiting for many, many years.
Nobody's
a lost senior citizen will join us on the show, and breaking news from inside of 610 Sports Radio. We'll tell you about it next.
Fesco in the morning.
Brisket.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Hamburgers.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Barbecued beef ribs.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves.
Let's go!
Get you later on down the trail.
Speaking of risking it for the brisket, our man Josh with Smokehouse Barbecue catering the BMA golf tournament today here at Hillcrest
he
Country Club.
He always smells terrific.
He really does. He just always smells like brisket, right? It's like an all-day brisket
or something.
I was told
he has two separate closets, one for his work clothes
right.
and the other for like his, you know, at-home clothes, because if the two should meet, then the entire thing will smell like smoked meats.
Well, you can't co-mingle clothing. I mean, you just can't
not,
do
not
that.
With the smoked meat clothing.
No, not at all. So every Friday at this time, we make a prediction. Usually it is wrong, and then you call in
weeks
Monday.
In a row. It really is.
It's rolling good right now, right? You call in Monday.
Should we get CDOT to make the pick for us so we can keep
we
that
should,
streak
since
going?
He's out. Yeah, he lost. He's out of the survivor pool. How did that happen? Hey, Carrington, good
Didn't
job out of you.
Didn't even make it two Sundays.
Sundays in the survivor pool. But each week we make a prediction, and you just have to know who makes the prediction and whether or not they got it correct, and you could win a prize pack courtesy of Smokehouse Barbecue, including a $50 and spices, and you can use that gift card to get some of those delicious Cajun wings that are so awesome and epic and outstanding at Smokehouse Barbecue. I'm going to make the prediction this week, and I am going to predict that Patrick Mahomes, without Tyreek Hill in the lineup, will still throw for 3 touchdown passes for the Kansas City Chiefs as they take on the Oakland Raiders at O.co Coliseum out in California. So
you're going to break the streak. You know that, right?
Probably so. 3 touchdown passes for Patrick Mahomes. And don't forget to call in Monday at 8:15, and you know that I made that prediction. And whether or not it is correct, you will win that prize back courtesy of our friends at Smokehouse Barbecue. And, of course, they're catering the golf tournament today for the BMA Foundation, and that's why we let Jerry Anselmo on the microphone. A dream come true for you to be on the show, isn't it, Jerry?
Am I on?
Yeah, you are on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you are, absolutely.
Yeah. Live on the radio.
Live on the air.
It's a wonderful dream.
It really is, yeah. It's a dream of mine, too, to have you sitting here and seeing you at this hour of the day. I mean, it's just really... Yeah.
Bob, you know what purgatory is, don't you? Well,
yeah.
That's what it is right now for me.
Okay.
Anyway, in the great words of Ernie Banks, it's so beautiful out here. Let's play two.
What a day. What a great
day. Brian brought us today.
Yeah. Tell everybody about the BMA Foundation, Jerry. I know we talk a lot and make fun of each other a lot, but it's from a deep love that we do have for each other and everything you do for Kansas City and the BMA Foundation. So for folks who don't know and folks who haven't heard about you and Brian, tell the story about everything, man.
Well, excuse me. We unfortunately lost our son in 2008. Died unexpectedly in his sleep. And 6 months or so after that, with the help of many people, many friends of his, we decided to start a foundation to honor him. And basically, we started with a golf tournament on a Friday. First golf tournament we had was this one, and we had 200 participants. And the next day, I had a dinner auction, and we wound up with 400 people. And at that stage, we decided that we think we have something here. Well, we have grown so immeasurably large since that time that we do a Dancing with the Stars event, which Bob Fesco danced in. Mm-hmm. How many years ago was that?
Back in 2015.
That was Chubby Bob days.
Yes, yeah, it was.
He was more enjoyable back then, actually. Now he's unbearable.
Yeah. Well, to now, we fill our golf tournament like we have today. I think there'll be 144 golfers out here, and then our Dancing with the Stars, we're at 1,100 to 1,200. That event. So we've grown from 200 and 400 to that stage, and we've been able to, and Bob, I don't think you know this number yet, but we've been able to donate in the last 10 years $1.6 million to local children's charities and animal rescue. It's been a fantastic journey. You've helped. You're on the board. You've been a dear friend since I met you back in 2015, I guess. Yeah. It was at a lunch that you did not pay for. And
I don't pay for any lunch.
That sounds pretty on par.
I don't want to talk about his alligator arms, but anyway, it's been a great journey, and you know, we're trying to make it bigger and better every year.
Tell us about some of the charities and the foundations that you guys support. We support with the BMA Foundation, because people think, all right, where does the money go? There's a ton of great charities we're able to support with this stuff.
Absolutely. We have 10 main charities. We're unusual in that we're a foundation that gives money to local children's charities and one animal welfare. Our charities are Team Smile, Charlie's House, Bags of Fun, Operation Breakthrough, St. Regis Academy, the Special Needs Program at St. Thomas More, Rockhurst High School. Who am I missing, Bob?
Noah's Bandage Project,
Kids TLC. I think I covered them all.
Yeah.
And then there are other charities that ask for grants, and we're able to help them out in any way we can.
Yeah,
and
really.
It's just been a fantastic journey, and you've been an integral part in it. So.
Well, I appreciate that, and you know, you keep me saying it sometimes, and you're like my foil, and I really appreciate that. So, you know, my parents came out a couple of weeks ago, and they said they had a wonderful time, except when you invaded our table at lunch and took over, and they were like, "Why is this old man here, and he won't leave us alone?" And I'm like, you know, sometimes you just got to, you know, placate the elderly, right?
Well, yes. I mean, I enjoyed meeting them, and as usual, somebody else bought. But, I promised somebody I'd give a shout out to him.
All right.
Because he knew I was going to be on the air, and that's Eric Fat Mahomes.
Oh boy,
you know him.
we're well versed in Fat Mahomes.
Well, yes. I ran into him last night. He was at Emo's Pizza.
No, he wasn't.
He had two big trays in front of him, and they were both empty. Mm-hmm. He had just finished a snack, and he loves the Provel.
Yeah, he does.
He loves the Provel.
I don't know why Bob hates on it so much.
No.
I kind of like Emos.
I got a bunch of Goombas from St. Louis here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll send them back. Jerry, I love you like a brother.
Thank you,
Bob. Or maybe
Bob,
a sister. I don't know.
Thanks for having me on. And
like
God
a
bless
weird
you guys.
Old uncle?
Yeah, weird old uncle. Yeah, weird old uncle. Yeah, so get out there
boys.
And hit him straight, my friend.
You.
All right? Go out
God
there and hit him
you.
Straight. The BMA Foundation.
Thank you, everybody, for supporting us.
You got it. BMAFoundation.org is where you can find out more about the BMA Foundation. That is Jerry Anselmo. And yes, he does look like Mr. Cunningham as well. Coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, we have.
No, it's not the guy from the Shane Company commercials either. It's not Tom Shane.
That is pretty good. Coming up, we'll talk to Dayton Moore, Royals general manager. We do that next.
Fesco in the morning.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
Brought to you by Spring Venture Group on Fesco in the morning.
Yes, it is our big story in our commercial-free half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. And Spring Venture Group brings you the big story. And, of course, Ryan, that is Chiefs and Raiders this weekend, the first of two of the final two games between Kansas City and the Oakland Raiders as they get set to move to Las Vegas. And we've been talking about it all morning long and how big a game it is from a rivalry standpoint for us as fans. And we still love, you know, the Oakland-Kansas City rivalry, and wonder if it will carry the same type of juice going to Las Vegas. I don't know that it will, because the fans make the rivalry now. It's not necessarily the teams making the rivalry. And if that same fan type of, you know, participation doesn't take place down in Las Vegas as it has in Oakland for these last umpteen years, then it's probably not going to be the same, because I want that atmosphere, but I don't think we're going to get that atmosphere in Las Vegas.
I thought that was the case, and then we talked to Joe Mays at 8 o'clock. If you missed it, on-demand page, 610sports.com. We'll hear a little bit from him later on in the show as well. Joe said the players care. It matters to the players. It's the coaches that are firing them up in the locker room. It's you know, imparting that onto the players as well. And let's face it, it doesn't take a lot to get up against a team like the Oakland Raiders. I think they're pretty universally hated around the NFL.
Yeah, I think they are. And it's really good to hear Joe say that. He only played here 1 year in Kansas City. So ultimately, I don't know that he would have developed that hatred for the Oakland Raiders like, you know, some guys that played here for 10 years or 12 years or coached here for a while, but he clearly did in 1 year develop that hatred for the Oakland Raiders. And he said that, you know, he is a hater of the Raiders because everybody in the NFL is a hater of the Raiders. You'll hear more from Joe Mays coming up a little bit later on in the show here on 610 Sports Radio. Well, every Friday of a Royals home game, we talk to the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, Dayton Moore, brought to you by the Sheet Metal Workers Local Number 2, joins us every other Friday. Good morning, Dayton. How you doing today? You good?
What's going on, Bob? You doing all right?
Yeah, not bad. We're out of here at the BMA golf tournament this morning, having some fun out here with our friend Jerry Anselmo. So we're having a little fun with him out at the golf tournament, and then headed out to the ballpark tonight, taking the girls and the family out to the ball game tonight. Looking forward to seeing Danny Duffy pitch.
Yeah, there you go. Good for you. Beautiful day for a golf outing, that's for sure, and a baseball game.
Yeah, no question. All right, what would Soler winning this home run title potentially mean for him and for the organization? He's just one back of Mike Trout now.
Well, it's a terrific accomplishment, and you know, when we executed that deal in the winter meetings of 2016, you know, we really felt that he had a lot of upside power potential. His selection was actually pretty good for somebody of his experience level, and so there were some strong predictors. And of course, you never know how it's going to turn out, and it's been a great journey, really. Last year, I felt that he made some great strides. Got hurt, as we all know, and as soon as he was healthy and ready to go, which was kind of towards the end of the season, he started working out right away. I mean, he didn't take 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month before he began his off-season conditioning and hitting routine that he goes through, and he started right away. And once he came to spring training, I mean, you could tell that he was locked in. He was a little different. And, you know, he's been terrific. He really has.
What do you think makes an athlete decide to do more in an off season than from what they've done in years past?
Well, I think in his case, obviously, Bob, I mean, he missed more than half the season. So he was hungry and ready to go. And I think he also felt, in just speaking with him, I mean, he has a lot of pride. He wanted to do well. He wanted to prove to everybody that, including us, that you know it was a good trade, a positive trade for the Royals. But also, I mean, he's a terrific competitor, and you know the Cuban player, everything that they have to go through to come over here to the States to ultimately make it to the major leagues. I mean, they leave a lot behind. I mean, they don't have a lot to go back to. There's no safety net, and so, you know, there's just an intense desire to reach your ceiling and to do well. And I think that, you know, he felt a little more urgency. Now, let's face it, I mean, he's 27 years old. I mean, he's still relatively very young for a major league hitter. And he's just entering his prime. And, you know, I just think that, like I said, there's a lot of pride there, a lot of expectations with Jorge. The more we've gotten to know him, the more we believe in him. And there's no doubt that he's got a chance to be a middle of your bat for a long time.
Talking with Dayton Moore here on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by the Sheet Metal Workers Local Number 2. They make a donation to Dayton Moore's See You in the Major Leagues Foundation with every one of his appearances here on 610 Sports Radio. And for you now as the general manager of this ball club that's going through a sale process, like, who's your boss now? Do you answer to Mr. Glass? Do you talk to the new guy? Like, how does that work inside the organization?
You know, that's a great question. And, you know, you just communicate. And, you know, Mr. Glass and Dan, I can make sure that, you know, they're aware of everything that we're doing. And then also I do my best to try to, you know, communicate to, you know, the other powers to be, if you will, and just make sure everybody's, you know, in the know, in the loop. As you are certainly aware, the final, I guess, vote on the sale of the team, I think, is November 21st. And at that point in time, assuming everything goes well, I mean, we'll have a new boss, somebody that we're really looking forward to and we know has an unbelievable vision, you know, for the Royals and in this community. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to working with John Sherman. And so it's, you know, it's a little bit of a, you know, kind of a, just I would say not a rocky time or what have you, because I think most of our employees understand that, look, if you do your job and you do your job well and you continue to have a sense of urgency, you're going to be fine. But, you know, anytime there's a sale or, you know, a change in leadership, you know, it can create some, you know, questioning, some insecurity, you know, throughout the organization. But I haven't felt that at all, Bob. I felt in talking to all of our people and spending time with them, which I've had a chance to do quite a bit over these last 3 weeks, you know, there's an excitement. There's, as I said, a sense of urgency and expectation and a desire to continue to do very well.
What are your expectations with new ownership coming in? What are you, like, your expectation, I guess, of the new ownership?
Well, I think the most important thing is to build that trust. And it's always our job as a leadership team, as a baseball operations department, to lay out a plan and motivate ownership to follow that plan. And the only way you do that is you build trust. You're completely transparent. You seek their opinion, you get them involved in this process, in the planning process, and you just do it together. And we're just going to lead like we always have, with the expectation to make sure that everything that we do is to uphold the integrity of baseball in this community and put players on the field that to connect with our fans and go out and play hard and win a lot of games. And so that's our expectation. And you know, the fascinating thing about all of this, and you and I have spoken before, I mean, we're very passionate about leadership. And this is just a great leadership challenge that we're going through as an organization. And we're all going to embrace it. And we're all going to, you know, do our very best.
Talk with Dayton Moore here on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by the Sheet Metal Workers Local Number 2. They make a donation to Dayton See You in the Major Leagues Foundation with every one of his appearances here on 610 Sports Radio. And Dayton, the minor league team's got a couple in the postseason, had a couple in the postseason. That experience seemed to be very valuable a couple of years ago when everybody won together at the minor leagues and then came up and won a championship at the big league level. You guys stress that a lot, don't you, winning at the minor league levels for having that effect at the big league level too?
We do. You know, we've got an early meeting over here at the Urban Youth Academy this morning, and we were all sitting around talking about, you know, how proud we are of our minor league teams and how they've performed this year. And, you know, the five teams that we had make the playoffs have all at least made it to the championship round. Wilmington is in the championship series right now in the Carolina League. Lexington's in the championship series. Idaho Falls has advanced to the championship series. Burlington lost in that final round. And, of course, the Dominican Summer League won the championship there. And truthfully, Bob, I think that, you know, other than winning at the major league level, a World Series, winning at the Dominican Summer League is perhaps the biggest challenge in the best accomplishment in the minor leagues, because I think there were 46 teams that were actually, you know, in the Dominican Summer League. As we know, Venezuela is having a lot of problems in their country, and there's no organized league there now. So most organizations have two teams in the Dominican Summer League. So we're really, really proud of them. And, of course, winning is crucial. It's important for development, but also for the future, obviously, of the organization.
Dayton, we saw yesterday, or I guess not yesterday, maybe a couple of days ago, you had a couple of members of the Chiefs over there kicking off the dirt because they're going to play in Oakland, and as we all know, that's not the best place to play baseball or football for that matter. So they're out there kicking off the dirt. What's kind of the most outside-the-box thing you've done in baseball to prepare a team to play?
Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, we've always liked to do, and just going back to my coaching days, is especially when it create, you know, some type of disturbance, you know, loud noises while guys are trying to get bunts down or hit or you know, bring in loud music or have other players heckle, you know, the hitter who's trying to get a bunt down or the pitcher who's trying to execute a pitch or the player that's trying to make a play and kind of put that pressure on them. I mean, so I think that's kind of an interesting way that you can prepare players for the game experience. Of course, we hear that all the time in football where they'll, you know, play the sound system very, very loud to simulate fans and so forth and play calling. But, you know, in baseball, you know, we like to, you know, get on each other, you know, good old-fashioned, you know, bench jockeying and rub, you know, get after guys a little bit and try to humiliate them somewhat and take them out of their comfort zone and break their level of concentration. And so that's a drill that we've done in the past.
Do you have a go-to heckler on the team? You say you have one of the other players do it. Is there someone who's like the best heckler on the Royals?
You know, we did that mostly, you know, back in my coaching days in college. You know, we did some of that. You know, we don't do a whole lot of that in you know, at the professional level. I mean, it's so, as you know, it's so routine each and every day. But, you know, there's some guys that can come up with some pretty good one-liners, as you know. I mean, when you're with these guys for so much time, I mean, you get to know them pretty good. But it's all done in fun.
Dayton, it also is a Coaches with Character week here on 610 Sports Radio, presented by Blue KC. Matt Schweitzer of Staley, the high school assistant baseball coach, is with us here. We'll talk to him in a moment. But what makes him special and stand out this month for the Coaches with Character?
Well, the neat thing is, I mean, obviously, when you have most of the guys that have received these awards are head coaches. He's an assistant coach, and that proves to me that, you know, he's doing everything that he can to make the head coach look well and to serve the team and have those private conversations that lift players up. Because obviously, when you're the head coach, you're not always somebody that everybody is happy about seeing or meeting, and sometimes you can, you know, have some conflict with some players, and you need a great assistant coach that is going to come in behind and lift people up and encourage them, and he does that. And the other thing that I'm so impressed is, you know, when you work with special needs kids on a daily basis, you have a very unique perspective of life, as you know.
Well, Dayton, we appreciate the time. We're going to talk to Matt here in a moment. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks, and we'll see you at the ballpark tonight.
Okay, guys. Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. Dayton Moore with us here on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by the Sheet Metal Workers Local Number 2 here on 610 Sports Radio. It's okay to pot that down there, Kramer. Get rid of that phone call. There you go. Christina Lively of Blue KC is with us, as well as Matt Schweitzer of Staley High School. And Christina, we'll start with you. Why was Matt the choice this month?
You know, Dayton made a lot of really good points about him being an assistant coach and really supporting his team. But I think for me, his work with the Special Olympics is just outstanding. You know, coaches do so much on the field with their athletes, but when they take that off the field with especially special kids, it's really amazing.
And who nominated Matt? Was it a bunch of parents?
I think it was parents. Yeah. Which, I mean, that just says says it all right there.
Sure it does. How can people nominate coaches for the future? I know we're getting to the end of the baseball season, but we're going to take nominations all winter and all spring long, right?
So it's super easy. Online, seeyouinthemajorleagues.org/bluekc. We'll take online nominations all year long. We'll hold them for the end of this year until next year, and we'll pull them out again. So please, if you've got a great coach, nominate them.
Very good. And Matt, man, hearing Dayton kind of talk about you, is that kind of cool to hear the general manager of a world championship team talk about how great you are?
No, it's definitely a surreal feeling. You know, I read his book, and I love what he stands for and how he's run the organization. So to hear those words come from his mouth, I'm humbled by receiving this award to begin with, but to hear that, just an indescribable feeling.
What did you think when somebody told you you were winning this award? What was the reaction like for you?
Kind of just shock and awe, like really speechless when I got a call. I didn't know the number. I was with my boys. We were up at Staley Hitton, and so kind of just ignored it and went to voicemail, and I got the voicemail, and was kind of had to listen to it again just to make sure. Like, wasn't even a thing that I really knew why a coach isn't to get awards like this. You know, yeah. I just enjoy the kids and the camaraderie that I have with them, and just kind of passing the knowledge that I've gotten through my career, and then just through coaching and the mentors that I've had and the people I've gotten to see, and just seeing them take on and accomplish their goals.
And you work with Special Olympics as well. Tell us a little bit about what you do in volunteer-wise with the Special Olympics.
I've done it for about 4 years now. I work with a teacher that's the coordinator for Special Olympics through North Kansas City, and she approached me a few years ago and said, hey, would you take over softball and coach with them? And it's one of those things of how can you say no?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so being in special needs, I'm a special needs teacher. I'm a resource teacher, so a lot of my kids are in the gen ed. I have a caseload that I kind of monitor. And so these are more high functioning. You know, you got you just go out there and just every day is a new day to them to see the smiles on their face and just to have fun. Not even for me, but for them and for, you know, what they're dealing with to begin with, but to come out and to have fun and to learn the game and to see the progress we've made over 4 years. And now it's grown. We've got three teams that we go with. They're all going to state here in a couple weeks. And it's just the excitement that they see. It just brings joy to yourself.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot in a minute. We work with a guy by the name of Jason Ketz who went to Staley High School. Do you know Jason at
I
all?
I do.
Was he as good a football player as he says he is?
Always, right? Always.
You can say no, that's fine. Thank you so much for being here, and congratulations on winning this award, man. It's pretty cool to see, you know, these coaches get these awards. Christine, I know you deal with a lot of these coaches and see them get the awards, but everyone for me is just really, really cool and really neat.
I totally agree. I mean, everyone just moves your heart a little bit.
It really does. Thank you guys for being here today. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me. Thank you for Blue Cross Blue Shield. This has been an amazing thing for me.
I bet it has been, man.
Thank you.
Congratulations on that. Christina Lively of Blue KC and Matt Schweitzer, the assistant baseball coach up at Staley High School with us here on 610 Sports Radio. We're out at the BMA Golf Tournament today here at Hillcrest Country Club. They're getting ready to tee off in about 10 minutes or so. And obviously it is a big time Red Friday here on 610 Sports Radio as well. I think the big news of the day that a lot of people are forgetting and not realizing is, of course, Carrington being eliminated.
Yeah.
You know, from the survivor pool, man, and it not even to the second Sunday of the NFL regular season.
Nah, he didn't
even
make it.
Carrington
a full 14
has been
days.
Out. He is gone. He is done. He is no longer part of the survivor pool because he picked Cleveland in week one and he took Carolina last night, which I can't say. I disagree with, because we talked about it. Joe and I debated back and forth for a while. 6 o'clock yesterday morning, we were even considering taking Carolina in the survivor pool.
Joe Stradamus, by the way, is making all the picks for Bob this year.
He's going to start recording them, just so you know. He's in on that.
Oh, he's just going to start recording the picks. Why don't we just call him that day? We can just call him, get him on the phone.
Well, whatever you want to do. But
it's abundantly clear you're not actually doing this.
No.
Because you've made it this far.
But it is a team effort. I made it through week one. I thought you would
be eliminated somehow. Somehow you would find a way to get two losses in 1 week.
And we know, I'm sure, everybody loaded up on Carrington this year because in the promo he said he's going to win this thing, and he didn't even make it to the second Sunday of the Survivor Pool. That's pretty pathetic.
It's when you walk around with that cockiness that it comes back to bite you every time. And in a double elimination tourney to not even make it to week two, through the second Sunday.
Yeah.
See, now look, okay. very pragmatic guy. He's logical, and he's got good sports opinions and takes. I don't understand how you consistently do things like this. You are the Mizzou basketball of Survivor pool picks. It is terrible, man. And for him to, you know, maybe we should have seen it on the, like, the writing on the wall when he had that trash baked beans take. Like, I'm not a huge baked beans fan, but I don't trash things like that.
Yeah,
like,
you eat the Smokehouse baked beans, though. You're in. Yeah, I'm telling you. You eat the beans from Smokehouse, and I'm telling you what, you will love baked beans.
I think there were precursors.
You will want to bathe in baked beans.
I think there were precursors. There were warning signs that we didn't heed well enough to know that Carrington would be absolute trash in this contest.
What was the warning sign for you? Because the warning sign for me was as braggadocious, I'm going to win this thing,
I
so you want to be on my side.
I think that's one of them. I think some of the bad takes on very popular things, it's just one of those, you just kind of feel it in your bones. You know that this is the type of guy that it's, you know, the football gods will not allow him to win. Hey. They won't allow Carrington to have nice things. You know, it's he Michael Porter Jr. this right out the jump, right?
Yeah, he did. Joe's winning this thing for me this year.
He's not winning.
So those who bet on me are absolutely going to go home very, very happy.
I commend all of you for selecting me.
And excited.
I will win you a $250 gift card.
And I feel bad mostly for our listeners, because I'm guessing a good majority of them sided up with Carrington on this because of that promo that was running that he was going to win this thing. And so everybody who hitched their wagon to Carrington, they're out of it now. And I really, so maybe they should be able to do a redraft. Like, everybody who picked Carrington should be able to take me now and win this prize and be entered to win this thing.
That's a double punishment for the people.
That's all I'm saying, man. That's all I'm saying. And, you know, you gave me a lot of
text line calling for his resignation.
Well,
I mean, I don't know if I disagree with that at this point.
It's hard at this point to say, Carrington, talk Chiefs.
At minimum, you should take Friday and Monday off.
Yeah.
Like, at minimum, take Red Friday, take the victory Red Monday off. C-Dot, nobody wants to see it. Let BK hold it down. He clearly knows what he's talking about. Sports Machine will take care of it for you.
That's right.
This is just pathetic.
Yeah, it really is. It's kind of sad. But I think, you know, you guys gave me static yesterday for picking New England. And BK, who I respect, I like listening to BK's sports takes. He talked about New England as well, and he picked New England. And,
well, shocker,
and
you guys picked the team that's playing Miami.
But that's what it's about. It's called a survivor pool. It's not let me see who I'm smarter than and pick the guy that nobody thinks
is going to
win. You
know what? That's what it is, too. Carrington was trying to be the smartest guy in the room.
Of course he was.
And it turns out you were the dumbest. You were the dumbest guy in the room.
I use this analogy all the time, and I'll continue to use it until the day I'm dead. My grandmother always said she's saving it for good, and she's saving it for good. And she died, and we went into her closet. She must have 50 sweaters with a tag still on them that she was saving for good. That she was saving for good and never got an opportunity to wear. So why you're saving picks for good, you're taking Cleveland.
That's how you play.
And you're taking Carolina, and you're getting whacked. You don't save things for good. You survive in advance, because me picking New England and BK picking New England, well, we already won week one, so we're carried over to week three automatically. Carrington's already eliminated. So as everybody's getting eliminated by picking somebody they don't think anybody else is going to take and losing, hey, we're winning and we're moving forward with this thing. But what Thursday Night Football did show me, and we'll talk more about it as the morning rolls along here, what the hell has happened to Cam Newton? That guy went from an MVP just a couple of years ago to a guy selling silk, you know, headwear or whatever.
You know who he looked like?
Old women wear.
He looked like that old lady on the Hallmark cards.
Yeah, Maxine.
Yeah. With a thing over his head.
Yeah, he did, yeah. All he needs is a menthol, and he'll be Maxine to a T. And so, like that guy lost it fast, man. And that's what we think could happen in the NFL now to just about anybody. You can lose it fast in the NFL. And Cam Newton, my man, that guy lost it fast. He went from an MVP to a guy selling silk scarves. I mean, like, what's going on with this guy?
He was a crocheted Afghan away from looking like my grandma.
Oh, my, man. I just really, really, really felt bad watching him play last night, not being able to get a yard, failing at the line of scrimmage constantly. Like, it was just a very, very,
missing
very,
open
very,
receivers.
Yeah, like, he's lost it, and it happened so quickly, and that's why I continue to say and stress, enjoy what we're seeing out of Patrick Mahomes, because we don't think it's going to end quickly. We didn't think it was going to end quickly with Cam. We didn't think it was going to end quickly with Andrew Luck. And both of those guys, one's already done, and one looks like he's had better days, and, you know, retirement's not far behind for Cam, because it was just a bad performance last night. Speaking of performances right now, here's what we can talk about. Performances. Chiefs fans, I think, know how to perform when it comes to supporting their team and having a good time. Alcohol.org of all places.
That's a website?
Alcohol.org did a study. Which NFL teams fans drink the most? And this is basically a website that gives you, you know, helplines and things of that nature for you to call if you need some help and whatnot in your, you know, your drinking and things of that nature. And they did a study of all NFL teams to find out which team has the drunkest fans. And they came to the Oakland Raiders as having the drunkest fans in the National Football League.
That feels like an upset.
Yeah.
I thought Green Bay had this on lock.
No, Green Bay's not. I don't even believe Green Bay is number two on the list. The Chargers come in at number two on the list for drunkest fans in the NFL.
All 17 of them?
Yeah, all 17 of them. They must be really, really, really drunk. But they base it on the fan bases on how many average drinks they have in a non-game day setting and how many drinks they have in a game day setting. And the Oakland Raiders, as a fan base, on non-game days, drink about four drinks a day. And during the game, they drink 4.5 drinks per day, which was the most in the National Football League. And they drink about the same during the game as they do outside of the game. So there's really not much of a gap. What they're getting at is Raider fans are drunk all the time.
So it's just a normal Sunday.
Right, a normal Sunday for them. Okay. It is a normal day.
I got it.
Now, for Kansas City Chiefs fans, we come in at number 7 on the list.
That's pretty good.
Of drunkest fans in the NFL.
Let me step our game up a little.
Chiefs fans drink an average of 3.5 drinks a day. And during game days, they drink 4 drinks per day, an increase of 22.5% when game day rolls around. So the Chiefs fans are drinking more on game day than we are during the regular season. Indianapolis comes in last on the list. They only drink about 2.5 drinks per day, and they actually drink less on game day than they drink during the week. And so to me, the most interesting thing about this entire study was that only 11% of Chiefs fans consider themselves non-drinkers. So 89% of Chiefs fans are drinking during the game.
Well, I mean, win in Rome, you know.
Right. I thought that number was pretty spectacular.
I'm with you on this as well, Tex Line. I thought Buffalo would be higher on
Buffalo
that list.
Should be higher on that list, right? Because what do they do up there in Buffalo besides drink? You know,
they jump through flaming tables.
Do you want to know where Buffalo is?
Yeah.
22nd.
That's a lie.
22nd on the list.
This whole study has gone out the window.
22nd on the list of drunkest fans.
What fans were they talking to?
Probably not the ones that are jumping through tables.
Yeah, they're not going over to the Bills Mafia.
Right.
And not the table jumpers? Okay.
Cleveland comes in at number 4, and the Green Bay Packers are number 5 on the list. The Washington Redskins, of course, are number 3, and to be a Redskin fan, you probably have to be drunk to watch that display of crap.
There was one thing that did stand out to me. So they have, like, on the chart of this, it also says the overall favorite drink. And the Atlanta Falcons' overall favorite drink was straight liquor.
For who was that?
The Atlanta Falcons. Everyone else is like local craft beer.
Right, yeah.
Or like a non-craft domestic, all these things. And then it gets to Atlanta, and it's like straight liquor for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, straight booze is what the Atlanta Falcons want to drink. But they did. They broke it down.
They've got some of the lowest concession prices in the NFL, though. That's what's happening. They're spending all their money on good booze after that.
Spending all their money on the booze.
You get $3 pretzels, you make up for it with the whiskey.
Yeah, but for the Kansas City Chiefs fans, they're a typical fan base, and it's local craft beer, which is pretty much the norm for everybody. That's the thing people drink the most of. 34.9% of Chiefs fans are drinking craft beer at the game. 17.5% of Chiefs fans are drinking non-craft domestic beer. That's your Budweiser's, your Coors, your Miller's. 11% are drinking cocktails. 6.3% of Chiefs fans are drinking straight liquor at the game. 7.9% are drinking non-local craft beer. 11% say they don't drink. 4.8% are drinking imported beer. 3.2% are drinking wine. And 3.2% are drinking other, which I don't know what other would be at this
other,
point.
Other? Like a Truly or something?
Maybe.
You're either sipping on a White Claw?
Yeah, drinking your sparkling ciders and whatnot. So congratulations to us in Kansas City. We come in at number 7 on the list. That is our commercial-free half hour here on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Coming up, Carrington's out of the survivor pool.
Carrington is out of the survivor pool. And we will tell you how the Chiefs fans are going to the Chiefs fans. Chiefs fans win every weekend, but how the Chiefs are going to win this weekend. We do that next.
Fesco in the morning. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.